So, Jewel, tell me a bit about how you got to Greenham.
How I got to Greenham was really hard to remember back where I first heard about it, but I think it was quite a sort of news item then, and I think I was already in the some kind of CND group around where I lived in West Yorkshire, and we formed a group. I was already a lesbian mother, with a baby. Oh no, I was pregnant. That's what happened. That's why we didn't go down, because I was 8 months, very difficult pregnancy, and we went. I remember when it was the Embrace the Base day, my partner and I went and did our own little ceremony around Hollingworth Lake, and it was just heartbreaking not being able to go to it. But as soon as my son was born, I think he was 6 weeks when we first went down.
Wow.
And we'd been to a green gathering. Maybe he was, no, he was 3 months, I think. We'd 6 weeks when we first went camping. We went down to Main Gate that became Yellow Gate. And at a time when they just started the evictions and the vigilantes were around. And so we'd come from the screen gathering with all of us with some horrible kind of dysentery stuff. it was that first screen gathering. It wasn't as green as it could have been. And my baby son got ill, very ill. There was a midwife there, I think it was called Sarah, and so this would be about May 1983, and we had a little tent that we camped just by Yellow Gate, and we went off somewhere, came back, we went to the hospital, we had to take him to the hospital, because this temperature of 106 when you're 3 months old is not good. We came back to find our tent had been smashed up by the vigilantes and our radio stolen. It was only a little tent as well, but we went then to just across to the Gillgate Main Gate fire, and the vigilantes came back and said blue dye and maggots over us and tried to put the fire out. So it was sort of quite a baptism by fire, really. And we limped off to my parents to recover, because we were all really ill by then.
Yeah.
We all recovered. But that was it. Then we came down as often as we could.
So was that your first time?
Yeah.
And you still came back?
Yeah.
After it
was amazing women, and amazing to have a women only action for us. You know, we were the first, I was the first out lesbian mother outside London that had ever been, and certainly in the valley where I was, it was. You know, not quite as accepted as it is now. And I met, there was another woman there, I think she was also called Sarah, convenient name, and she was, was she pregnant or she just had Jay? But it felt like home, and it felt wonderful. That was before they started Kerry Greenham Home. But that really, that was just the words that came to me, and the songs were so inspirational You know, can't kill the spirit, and all of those were, it was fantastic. And we formed a Pennine Women's Peace Group with half a dozen other women. About, you know, it was so different then, no hippies or anything up there. Really? This was just local women, and across the hills to Rochdale and you know, right across. But we used to meet every week, and we used to do actions up there, spraying graffiti along the railway, and we occupied an army recruiting office.
Oh, really?
But we ended up in the police cell. I was in the police cell with them because we can't remember all the details. It doesn't matter. But it was James Anderton, who was the God Squad guy, was in charge of Manchester Police, and we occupied Rochdale Army recruiting office. Thinking nothing of it, you know, we carefully planned, but not expecting to be arrested, and we all got arrested and carted off to jail. And I was stuck in a cell, and they wouldn't even give us a change of nappy. They wouldn't give me any food, anything to drink. I was ringing the bell and ringing the bell. He was, you know, I had to take all his clothes off. He was skidded in his own pee.
Oh.
Across the floor of the cell and banged his head. It was really treatment that people can get away with. So people put in complaints about it. I didn't, I think, because I'd just got too much on, but I know other people did, like on my behalf, and have just liked that, got nowhere, you know. I think we got arrested. Around then. But yeah, so we just became went down as often as we could as a group and as a family, lesbian family, and we settled on Turquoise Gate, which was in the woods.
I haven't heard much about Turquoise Gate.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but it's certainly one of the ones that we know less about. What was the sort of vibe?
What was wonderful about it was little, it was peaceful and loving. I remember there was a couple of women there that had been or were going to Russia. Well, it sounds awful now, doesn't it? We thought it was a good thing then. There was a couple of wise, older women there, and it was just... It was a lovely little community, and stood, you know, without all the politics crap, and just always being out in the woods has been really important to me.
So was it set in the woods, this one?
Right out in the middle, between, as you might imagine, Yellow Gate and Green Gate. Green, turquoise, blue and green, between... Green Gate, that's right, there's Yellow Gate, there's Green Gate, the sanctuary, there's Blue Gate, which was the punks, the greens were the spirituals, so that sort of in the middle of that was this sort of quite cosmopolitan but totally Wiccan environment was just lovely. So, yeah, that was great. And then... can't remember what happened. Our baby number two came along and zapping and that awful stuff they were doing, and we decided it wasn't safe enough to take the kids anymore. So we stopped after about 2 or 3 years, I think.
And so you had your second child, and you say you were bringing them up as a couple.
Yeah. My partner had the, because I said, if you don't, you've got first dibs, or I'll have another one.
Yeah.
So she had a beautiful little girl, and we're all still in touch.
Yeah.
40 years on, and living all over the world. My kids are in America, China. And whatever, my ex-partner is down south. we're all getting on with our own lives, but we're all still in contact. So
yeah.
It's, I suppose, part of the whole, the beauty of Greenham was women working together. That had never really happened before in that kind of way. And that was just what we were about, was breaking out on our own, living our own lives regardless of social pressures. And yeah, it was probably, I've been activist for I discovered war and politics with Suez, which was 1956, which was 65 years ago. And I knew it was wrong. And I didn't want to live in that kind of world, and I've got to do some, whatever I could about it. And I still think the solution to all our poor planet's problems is Gaia healing patriarchy. I'm not separatist at all. I love men, but they have fucked up our world terribly, terribly. And the only hope is going back to natural values that we had, and we all learned so much. There were lots of squabbles, and so much love, so much independence for women. Women had never been allowed to dig their own shit pits or even call them shit pits. And the treatment we got from men as a result of us doing that, I've told you from the minute we got there, hasn't changed that much. I'm still as activist as I ever was, and we still get police sexism and violence, as you know.
So do you think the vigilantes were specifically sort of more enraged that it was a women's protest, or do you think it was more, dirty hippies on our doorstep kind of thing?
No, I think it really rattled people's cages and opened a whole lot of cages being women. That was so important, even though I was used to, before we moved up to Yorkshire as a lesbian family, I was living in a lesbian gay short life in Hackney.
What life?
Short life. What's squat.
That? Oh, okay. I've never heard that term.
Oh, right. Okay.
A short life. Is it?
It's housing politics. It's not relevant here. It's just, how you survived in London at that time. Trying to live in communities, and that's what we wanted. And as a women's community, it was so powerful. And that includes all the falling outs and stuff with living in a patriarchal society. And we had to learn from scratch. But I think it was transformational for everyone I know. One of my closest friends, my partner and I have been split for many years, but we both have since split and become Quakers. Quakers were very involved with this, and one of my closest friends still is a Quaker woman that traveled down with and was we're still really close. It's not about any kind of separatist thing. It's about women's empowerment, women just being allowed, getting space, because we'd never be allowed, we still aren't allowed to be ourselves or do what we want, apart from idyllic little anarchist hippie squatty
short lives
or living out in the woods. But it still happens, it still happens. It's it's so deeply ingrained, and I care passionately about it.
Yeah, but you do you feel that you said you're not a separatist, but did you, it sounds like you feel like the separatism at the time was important.
Women together was important.
Mm.
We weren't against men, we were just against men coming, pushing in.
Yeah.
Thinking that they had to, they couldn't bear that women could do things for themselves.
Mm.
This is, I think, why it had so much more impact. You know, we'd had CND for years.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we all came together as that Pennine Peace Women. Certainly, mm-hmm. we'd all been involved with that, frustrated with it, because it was the same old power struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Women together have completely different dynamics. Do mm-hmm. you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's not to do with sexuality. I'd see myself as asexual. Now I've had relationships with men as well as women.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, just Jacinda Ardern comes to mind as you know, how to work, how to live, how to organize living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about power.
Mm-hmm.
Men always have to have power over women, or about power within.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all about recognizing our power within.
Mm. And well, so you must have been going for a few years if you came when the zapping started. Were you ever there when that happened, or did you kind of hear about it and make the call that it wasn't sort of safe to go down there?
No, I think we were there. I mean, remember we'd had very much a baptism by all sorts. There were always scares. I remember being a peanut butter scare. That might be to do with having babies at the time.
A peanut butter scare.
No, it doesn't matter. just a connection with Green. But no, it was there was. I don't know if it's ever been proven one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, motherhood comes first, basically, above anything else, and
absolutely. We couldn't
risk our kids.
Absolutely.
So I can't remember what year that was, but maybe. It was quite hard work with two babies as well.
Yeah.
You know, and quite a long way to travel from Wilds of Yorkshire down to Berkshire.
Yeah. Would you drive down?
Yeah, we did, and there's no other way of getting there. With babies.
Yeah. And was it always you and your partner that you travelled down with, or were you, because you said about you had a sort of a group up in, was it the Pennines? Yeah,
and as it happens, I still know several of them. Mm-hmm. And one of them were in the same Quaker meeting. Another one I met on an action last week.
Oh, really? Before.
Yeah, I hadn't seen her in 30 years at least. Uh-huh. And we were doing the same action.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Because we're not living that well. She's still in the same place. I'm still in the same place, but other people are scattered. We're 20 miles apart. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen her since those days. And just the same.
Yeah, and you're talking about you're a Quaker now, and as far as I know, Quakers were quite involved in Greenham. Was that something you were aware of whilst you were there, or is it something that's kind of come to you later?
No, the first time I was really impressed by Quakers was when we set up Fairford Peace Camp,
mm-hmm.
which was before the Iraq invasion.
Mm-hmm.
When I was actually in a heterosexual relationship, and mm-hmm. He and I and a couple of other women friends set up in great secrecy. Took the land, we took the wrong land. We thought it was council land, it was the farmer's land.
Oh, no.
And the farmers didn't like us. You can imagine what we got for that, flat tyres and cam knock all over us and court summons. I got a personal court summons for $8,000, which was a lot of money. It was like 20 years ago. And they sort of won in the end. That became a big thing.
Yeah, it happens. It's hard to get the right land sometimes. Definitely not the first or the last people to do that. But when you were interested in, or when you sort of came to Greenham, was it sounds like the women only aspect was very important to you, but you were also involved in peace campaigning.
Yeah. And did
that feel like a very, like, sort of the big issue of the time, perhaps? And has that continued throughout your life, or have other things kind of, or do you just see it all as totally interconnected?
I guess I see it all as totally interconnected. I am, as it happens, doing a CND group, which organised usefully, that is organising regular weekly vigils for Ukraine in our valley, but I don't go to meetings. I don't, you know, I'm sick of meetings. 50 years of meetings,
yeah.
Apart from work, 50 years of work meetings. I don't do much. I've always been pretty anarchic.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you've had a varied time. I'm interested whether you say you've always been anarchic, whether sort of anarchism and things or things that were spoken about at Greenham, was it sort of ever, did many people sort of identify with these different kind of politics or different kind of, I don't know even what you'd call it.
As in Rosa Luxemburg and Emma Goldman and that kind of.
Yeah, or did people at Greenham sort of identify as being anarchist or being of another kind of political leaning, or was it all just very varied?
I think it was very varied, pretty volatile.
Uh-huh.
You know, being out lesbian was unbelievably different world.
Yeah.
Just to feel comfortable enjoying other women's company, to have the courage to argue with other women, to have the courage to do anything ourselves, to chop wood, to light fires, to dig shit pits, was all absolutely new. You know, there were the peace camps around. That was an important bit of it, actually, talking about gender politics. There were already peace camps around that time, as
I've Shana, heard of some. Yeah.
Molesworth, amongst others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the rape stuff, there is still.
No.
Have you not heard all that stuff? That was one of, for me, I mean, I know the woman that started it was Welsh, and you know, the walk was from Cardiff, and we weren't part of that. We weren't part of, because of pregnancy problems. So it was, you know, it was main gate then, the rest, you know, evolved from there. But just women, you know, just that was such a huge, huge, huge step in independence. Mm. And I think every woman I know that was at Greenham has, you'll know different from me, but it was transformational, even though, you know, obviously I was already as an out lesbian living in squats and moved out to the country and stuff. That was all really new stuff. Mm. I didn't know anybody else that was doing those kind of things. And Greenham was so creative.
Yeah.
Such a learning experience. The songs, just the songs were, you know, it was like, you can't kill the spirit. Just, you know, absolutely says it all. That's the, you know, that describes it better than anything for me, really, I think.
Mm-hmm. And are you still sort of friends with a similar, well, you said you've bumped into people, but is there anyone that you're sort of regularly in contact with from those days, or have you ever sort of bumped into people and not known them from Greenham, but it's turned out that they were there and things like that, as the circles kept on bumping into each other?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was actually because, like I said, for our valley, our town where I live now, up north, I was amazed when we had this Greenham exhibition, and it was a big thing, and it grew. They wanted to keep it. As far as I know, apart from COVID, it's still going. That's why I've just nicked the kettle back. I'm here with my original Greenham kettle, or the kettle I got for Greenham that was being in an exhibition up there. Clink, the dirty, bashed old kettle.
So was the exhibition at Hebden Bridge?
It was originally, but I think it's gone off other places now. Yeah. But I'd nicked my kettle back because I needed it for my wood.
Yeah.
and I don't know why it mattered to me to have it back. But, you know, a kettle's a kettle in an exhibition, isn't it? But they were keen to have it. So it's still interesting. And, yeah, we had the exhibition in our little town.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't take a massive imagination to think where it might be. I was amazed how many other women there were that I knew there that had been to Greenham. I have to say, mostly, you know, obviously these are older women because how long ago? 40 years back. So, you know, there aren't that many left around that are still. Well, I'm sure you've met quite a few, but I bet they're all mostly somewhere like me, of just, you know, celebrating the change that it brought.
Yeah.
But I think there were a lot of women that I didn't know, didn't have any social contact with. I don't have a lot of social contact anywhere these days, but they're relatively straight. Sort of, you know, not still doing things. You'll know more than me, but I don't know many other women that are still out on the road like I am.
I mean, it's quite incredible the sort of seeming the list of things you've been involved in. You seem to have had a finger in a lot of the pies.
A lot more than I've mentioned. Palestine.
Oh, really?
Particularly, I've been a lot of times living in Palestine.
Living in Palestine? Yeah. I mean, if that sounds...
But it's not to do with Greenham. I've done a few other wild things along the way.
No, I mean, I'd be very interested to hear about it still, but only if you want to elaborate on it.
It doesn't connect directly with Greenham. I wouldn't do it now. You have to know your limits. You have to be absolutely sorted to completely look after yourself in every way.
Yeah.
And be 100% giving support. And I haven't got that to give anymore. I wouldn't say that.
I mean, I think that's reasonable after this song. But it's, it seems very like a relevant thing. The moment with like what's happening with the Ukraine and sort of hypocrisy around the different narratives.
Horrors. Absolute horrors.
No.
Barbaric, isn't
it? Yeah.
You know, actually what struck me is that, that they're using cruise missiles there.
Mm.
And that's what all the fuss was about. That,
mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know anything about missiles or anything then. But you know, cruise missiles was, you know, I still don't know about them, but I know they were the horrific things. And thought, actually, it's brought Greenham back every time I hear this. But there's been another cruise missile in, wherever in Ukraine. So privileged.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got so much so urgently to do to save this planet,
mm-hmm.
preferably without humanity on it.
And preferably without humanity on it. Does it sort of comfort you to see the way that the world or the planet seems to rewild itself without the human presence? Is that the kind of route that you're thinking down now?
You mean like Chernobyl?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose that's particularly awful. That one.
Didn't know about Chernobyl because I was off at Green and you never heard anything that was in the news.
Oh really?
Got back and my partner had the kids. I'd gone down without them but human, male, ego, greed, materialistic power, crap, we don't know how to stop it. I think about nothing else. I pray, I don't pray to God, I pray to Gaia, thank Gaia all the time for her wonders. I can't even do activist stuff. I can only work for the planet, for saving the planet, whether it's on my allotment plot or at Syngenta, you know, stopping the poisoning of the earth, or you know, we just have to get off this planet. What else do you need to know?
No, I mean, that's brilliant. Yeah. The only thing I'd maybe want to ask, what was it? It was about sort of how does it feel different sort of being an older person in activism now? And do you feel like there's a wider range of ages, or like a wide range of ages to work with, and do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, because of health issues, all my energy goes into Gaia in whatever way I can support her. It's good to see, you know, that it's still happening. It's lovely to see young people getting on with it. I wish they'd make me more cups of tea a bit faster and keep me warm and look after me in the manner to which I think I should become accustomed. There aren't many people still out my age, are there?
No. No, definitely not. It seems, especially not on sort of camps and things, but then, you know, people like you pop up on the camps and at things. And I think that's why I was interested in working on this project, is like understanding better this kind of lineage and understanding how, you know, a lot of people sort of tire from activism, I think. Also, that's the experience I've seen. A lot of people sort of get very burnt out and sometimes a bit traumatized by it, because it's engaging with all these really hard things all the time, and sometimes that means, I think, that you lose people's sort of stories or what they've learned, and that can't do. That's no good. I think we should.
No, that's why I'm doing this, because you know, it's ego comes in everywhere. I'm not saying I'm ego-free, but...
have a beer.
F off, man.
Take it.
No, leave one for me.
Oh, you want a Guinness? Do you want a Guinness?
No.
There you go. How rude.
There you go. Yes. There you go. You see, they don't change. You know? A woman gets her own shit together, and what happens? A man comes along and says, oh, you're so lovely. Oh, thank you. Oh, yes, that's so nice. I'll chop your wood for you. You know, what changes, really? You know? You know, he's a lovely guy. You know, you seem really nice, but, you know, I think we changed more in that time than as, I don't know about before, but certainly... It's really disappointing that, you know, we can't all live in New Zealand.
Yeah, we haven't been bestowed with great female prime ministers, I wouldn't say. Quite shockingly bad, really. But
that's a shockingly bad system. It is such a conservative with a small C and a big C and. You know, everything. We live in such a warped universe with humans at the centre, and we're not. We're part of an ecosystem. So, that's what matters to me, is just trying to protect the planet. That's the only reason I do anything. And I can only do stuff that's positive, not, you know, like I said to you, I was never anti-fracking. It's always frack-free. And that's because you can't do that harm to the planet. And again, women, it was women alone. It's not to do with sexuality, it's to do with gender. And it was women that won the fracking battle, really. You know, and it was when there was the injunction that no one could do anything except the women in white on a Wednesday morning. And we could do anything we liked until, of course, a few of us got bored and started can-canning around some police officers and got locked up for a few hours for that. But that just says it all. You know, they're so threatened by... women, even just having a bit of fun. Yeah. If women are doing it on their own, we did do a lot of, and that was what, you know, that was probably another one that stands out in my mind something I've really stuck at for years. I've stuck at activism always, but that was a really special because it wasn't just women, like, you know, there were peace camps that were mixed. There was lots of, I was involved with, you know, in mixed factory stuff, but it was the Lancashire Nanas by being women using our ingenuity, you know, sitting knitting in front of the gate, like, you know, in Paris when they did. But we knitted ourselves into the gate. We stuck our bras up on the gate because they couldn't, you know, it was in a particular context. We weren't just doing it as a see, look, we're all pretty women.
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember the precise political justification, but, you know, part of it was the amusement at these really awful security guards having to be seen as taking all these bras off the gates. You know, women have got so much power in a different way from men. Women can take the pee. We can be sacred. We can be spiritual. We can be sexual. We can just party and have fun. Or we can just say, well, you know, this is crap. We need a whole different power structure. And, oh, God, Sarah Everard, all the rest of it. You know, I learned this a long time ago. You win one battle, but they make damn sure you lose the fucking war.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But, you know, they come back and it, you know, I do despair. I really do despair. And I think Gaia despairs. I think, you know, I think our Earth is doomed because of men and men's materialist ego, greed, power over control. And there's no control in life. Women know that. And live with it and work with it and create in far, far more fun, far more serious ways than, you know, when there are men around. I'm no man hater, I'm no separatist in any way, but, you know, so I've had as many men partners as women, but I've always maintained my independence. And I don't like that. That's it, nothing else to say.
Oh, thank you so much.